Hi, you're listening to World Socialist Radio. Today we're going to be reading about state repression. It's from the February 2026 edition of the Socialist Standard. So, state and repression. In December 2025, a military court in Yekaterinburg sentenced five members of a Leninist study circle, including a pensioner, to between 16 and 22 years in prison. Their activity was, as a study group specifically reading State and Revolution, written by Vladimir Lenin, no acts were committed or violence planned, but they were sentenced for terrorism and plotting a coup. Thought alone was treated as a seditious act. And in the US, a Texas A&M University philosophy professor was barred from teaching Plato because he allegedly advocated for a particular view on race and gender. 2,000-year-old texts, including Aristophanes' myth of the split human and Diotima's reflection on love, are no longer permitted to be read. Students were treated not as thinkers, but as ideological empty vessels. 200 courses in the Texas A&M College of Arts and Sciences have been flagged or cancelled by university leaders for gender or race-related content as the university undertakes its review of all course syllabi. Faculty members told Higher Ed that this review is required as per new rules instituted by the University Board of Regents after conservatives waged a harassment campaign against faculty members who taught race or gender-related subjects. As Lucas wrote, ideology functions effectively only so long as it remains unconscious of itself. When ideology is exposed, it must be defended by force or ritual. Lenin had observed that the state is an organ of class rule, an organ for the oppression of one class by another. Both the Russian state and the university act to preserve the dominance of the master class, only telling truth when it's convenient. Plato's dialectical method encourages dialogue, reflection, and contradiction. Gramsci notes in the prison diaries that the master class secures dominance by shaping civil society and consent. The repression of readers and students prevents the proletariat from thinking independently and undermining authority. Such systems do not defend meaning. They defend the conditions of their own performance. They are nihilistic, not because they believe in nothing, but because they cannot tolerate the process by which meaning is made. Paranoid ideology and its political theatre. Also an article from the Socialist Standard, February 2026. A woman was shot in the head three times by an agent of the United States in front of her wife. This was a violent ideological theatre, not law enforcement. On January the 7th in Minneapolis, an ICE agent fatally shot Renee Nicole Good, a 37-year-old mother of three, a poet, and a US citizen, during a federal immigration enforcement operation that had already brought thousands of armed agents into the city. The federal response was instantaneous and unapologetic. Homeland Security officials and President Trump rushed to frame the killing as a response to domestic terror and defend the agent's actions as self-defense, claiming Good weaponized her vehicle and tried to run down officers. Local officials, video evidence, and human rights group reject that narrative. Footage and eyewitness accounts show her attempting to drive away, not attack, and the domestic terror label has no basis in law. The FBI immediately seized control of the investigation and cut out the Minnesota state investigators, deepening the mistrust and raising fears of a cover-up. The killing has sparked large protests in Minneapolis and solidarity demonstrations nationwide, and it has intensified debate over ICE, federal power, and accountability in law enforcement. The political response to this isn't a botched PR afterthought, like the Met's handling of Mark Duggan or Jean-Charles Demenzi's shootings, where Blair and Cameron let the police take the heat and preserved an appearance of separation of powers. This is different. Trump and his cabinet turned a street killing into ideological propaganda, weaponizing it against large parts of the working class and their allies, and signaling that dissent and community defense will be cast as terrorism. That escalation and the fact that a significant slice of US society is willing to accept these justifications without evidence tells us something grim about the shape of social conflict under Trump's second term. Conditions that eerily echo the pre-Civil War debates over bleeding canvas, where political violence became embedded in national policy. and identity.
You have been listening to World Socialist Radio, produced by the Socialist Party of Great Britain. If you would like to find out more, you can visit our website, spgb.net.